Well, welcome to the Digby Wesleyan podcast, and I am so glad that you could join us today. We've had another kind of crazy storm. I came in to the church a Saturday night, and I could not see over the snow that was in the parking lot. And it had started freezing rain, and then I lost internet. And so we decided to cancel church and get the word out. And I know that that sometimes frustrates some of you, but we are on the side of safety. We do want to say that the forecast looks good for Tuesday. And if you are needing a fix, especially of coming together and worshiping, we want you to be able to come out Tuesday night to the Deep Brook campus at the Lions Club there. We start at 7. Join in and have a coffee. But thank you for joining us online. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, and last week we challenged you to rethink this word on repent, right? Because in the church sometimes, and even outside of the church, that word has some pretty negative connotations that come with it. We don't want you to cringe or to flee the word repentance. It comes from Mark 1, 14 and 15. Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And the time had come, he said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. You know, that's kind of interesting, and we tried to last week amplify this idea, you know, that it's good for us to repent. That is absolutely still the good news. And that's not just for those who are outside of the church. That's absolutely for the church to check your direction, to kind of stay up on some of that. And, you know, turning to God never fails us. Turning to God is always the right answer. So repent and be forgiven. No matter what you've done wrong, know that Jesus has already paid back that debt and has already taken the punishment, and you can be free. So again, we want to kind of jump into some more stuff about the kingdom and insights into the kingdom this week. Matthew 13 is where we're going to be reading. If you're following along in your Bibles, you can turn there. Matthew 13, we're going to start reading at verse 31 and verse 32. It says this, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it was the smallest of the seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. Well, that's, again, this famous illustration that Jesus gives, this little parable about a mustard seed and how it's like the kingdom. It's something so small, if you know a mustard seed, it is really, really small, yet it has great potential that lies within it. It's almost mind-boggling to see how it can overtake the countryside. And so, you know, if you want to look up on your phone or on your computer, the size of a mustard seed, for those of you who maybe don't have that culinary, you know, expanse in your cupboard, maybe you don't have mustard seeds at home, it's so small, it fits in the tip of your finger, right? And then if you want to look up a picture of a mustard plant slash tree, you will see that the listeners in Jesus' day really understood what it was. Mustard plants really did turn into trees. They took over the whole countryside. They grew very quickly. They would grow on rocky soil. They would grow in sandy soil. They would grow in dry soil. So once a mustard crop kind of got going, it took over. I said this a couple years ago, but it reminded me of purple loosestrife. Purple loosestrife, if you've ever heard of that, it's this beautiful-looking kind of pinky purple plant. And it was introduced to North America in the early 1800s from European settlers. It came over in the ballast of the ships where they weighed it down with soil, and that would stabilize the ship in the crossing of the ocean. But it was kind of interesting. The plant also reminded Europeans of their home, and so they started to plant these flowers in their garden, and they looked nice at first, but then all of a sudden they took over. Right, they took over the wetlands of North America, and if you look anywhere in the summertime, you can see these, you know, little flowers growing that are purple or pink, and you go, oh, they look nice, but if you really know they're a weed and they've kind of devastated the marshlands, you might kind of rethink that. Well, that's kind of like the mustard seed, right? The mustard plant had the ability to take over the countryside, and so the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, is like that. One small thing, when it grows, can really take over the land, right? We see that theme again throughout the Word of God, that the church is something that is growing. It is alive. It's growing. So let me give you a few examples of that. 1 Corinthians 3:6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God has been making it grow. This idea that, again, our faith in the kingdom, it grows, right? The kingdom grows as we as we live it, right? Hebrews 4:12 also says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So again, this idea that there is a kingdom of God and it is alive, it is active, it is moving, it is growing. And though it starts as a simple seed, a simple beginning, it's alive and very active, right? And it will grow. God will grow it. So I want you to think about that in terms of your faith. Has your faith been growing lately? Have you been seeing more and more kingdom things? We've been challenging you to pray about the coming kingdom, which would be the New Jerusalem. And again, it's closer than any would ever know or imagine. But also praying that God's kingdom would come right now as we wait, that you would see with kingdom eyes, hear with kingdom ears, and that you'd move with a kingdom heart. That's a pretty incredible thing. But you got to plan it. And once you plan it, it's going to grow. So is there kingdom things growing in your life? You know, maybe you need to get back to planting, to cultivating, right? And here's one distinction that I want to make as we kind of go forward with this idea. I want you to know that the church can't grow the kingdom. And you can't grow the kingdom, right? So look at kingdom things. If there's no kingdom things in your life, I want you to know that you can't grow them, but you are called to plant, right? You're called to plant. And it's kind of interesting because I see so many Christians trying to grow the kingdom, and they're trying to do. And I've talked about this many times before. The problem with that is that doing is never done, right? Don't do, because the doing will kill you. There's always more to do. And that's not the way that the kingdom grows. That's not what we're to think about. We're to be the kingdom, not do the kingdom, right? Now, that's a little play on words, but I need you to catch that. We're to be the kingdom, not do the kingdom. You see, the difference is God leads us, right? And when God is leading, then we're simply being the kingdom, right? There's no wasted time when he leads. The kingdom of God, and think about this, the kingdom of God is like yeast, right? We've seen some of those things, right? The kingdom of God is like a net. The kingdom of God is like a treasure. The kingdom of God is like a fine pearl. The kingdom of God is good news. So the kingdom of God is, you and I don't produce it. You know, the Wesleyans don't produce it. The Baptists don't produce it. The Pentecostals don't produce it, right? You don't grow it. It's not your responsibility to make the kingdom grow, right? But here's the deal. We're to be the kingdom. All our doing in the world can leave us wanting, and all our doing in the world may be ineffective because the kingdom is more than just doing. The kingdom is. It already is. So you can't produce it. What's the problem with doing? Like, we can spend all of our time trying to do the kingdom. And many times I see that. Why? Because immediately it becomes about us. You can measure the things you do. Others can measure the things you do. So when you do, there's glory that comes, but it doesn't go to the kingdom. It comes to you. And that's kind of those things that make me sad, right? And you know what? Again, good things that kind of become enemy of the best thing. It's when we hear people talking about a church and not talking about God, right? Like, that makes me sad, right? Or when people say, you've done so much, whether they're talking about a church or a group of individuals, for the community. Okay, well, if it's really being done, I'm hoping it's being done for the kingdom and being done by God. When we look at what we've accomplished, it all comes back to doing, and then the focus lands on us, and then sadly the glory doesn't go to God. You see, you can do a project, and you can do a course, and you can do a ministry, and you can do church, right? But you could do all those things without God. Many of those things are done in the name of God, and God doesn't have any part of it. I was thinking of a quote from Keith Roy. He said this. He said, ministries can do great things without God, but they can not do eternal things without him. So let me say that again. Right? Ministries can do great things without God, but they cannot do eternal things without him. You know, if you want to be a part of the real kingdom things, eternal things, God things, then we need to kind of let go of that idea of doing for the kingdom, and we need to start being the kingdom. Being the kingdom. And when I think about being the kingdom, it all comes down to love, right? Are you loving? Are you loving? Are you loving your neighbor? Are you loving your enemy? Are you loving the people that are around you? Are you loving those in need? Are you loving, right? Okay, here's another quote. Rick McKinley, he said this. He said, how screwed up have we gotten that we cling to a Christianity that can be lived without God? That's a great question, right? It's, again, about doing. So doing in the end is not about being, right? I hope that we're being the kingdom, and then you know what? When we're being the kingdom, the right things will be done. So the kingdom is, right? Again, that might be a blow to our ego, but I think that's a wonderful check. The kingdom, here's the truth that we don't want to hear all the time. Do you know the kingdom doesn't need you or I? The kingdom doesn't need the Wesleyans or the Baptists or the Pentecostals, again, like I've already said, those few denominations. The kingdom already is. And the kingdom invites us not to do, but to be a part of, to be, right? So I hope that we plant. And what are we planting? Hopefully it's love, right? And love comes through in joy and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and grace and mercy and generosity and all those things. But really, when we boil it all down, it's love, right? Are you loving? Because when you love, then all of a sudden, you are being the kingdom, right? And so here's the deal. You know, there's a lot of times in church, and we kind of talked about this in a previous message in this series already. There's a lot of worthy projects that your church is going to do, or, you know, your body of believers or friends are going to get together. There's a lot of sign-up sheets, and those things aren't wrong. I mean, I think that we should be a part of the church and be a part of the community and do a lot of things on behalf of Jesus Christ. There's always going to be a lot to do. But before we do things, I hope we would ask why, right? And there's where God's leading comes in. You know, that's when God is telling us what we need to do, you know, telling us where we need to be effective, tell us what he is doing so that we can partner with that. If the kingdom is the reason for the why, then guess what? We wouldn't even need sign-up sheets. It would just be happening because we'd be being the kingdom. This 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, you guys all know this verse very well, but it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong and clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom the mysteries of all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. You see, you can do a lot and still gain nothing. And I guess that's why I want to boil down the kingdom a little bit when it comes to our responsibility. We're called to love. We're called to be Jesus. Right? We're called to be the kingdom, right? We're called to all of those things because being is much better than doing, right? So again, the mustard seed, the kingdom, doesn't need your help to grow. It grows on its own. It's aggressive too, right? It's a miracle after miracle that God can perform in his name, right? But make sure you understand it's God's work and not our work. Right? He wants us to be a part of it, but what he is doing knows no end. So again, being requires something far greater, right? It needs God's moving, it needs God's direction, it needs God's intervention, it needs God's leading, it needs God's blessing. So sometimes we get caught doing and we leave God out. And then glory comes to churches, glory comes to people. Spotlights are on all the wrong thing. Being requires something greater. You see, being continues, and being is led by God. To think about it, to be a neighbor, to be a good neighbor, right? To be a good enemy, right? To be welcoming, to be a friend. All those things can only happen if we love, right? So are you loving? Because when you're loving, guess what? That's when all of a sudden you are being the kingdom. You know, forget about the things you're doing, because a lot of times we do them for the wrong reasons. Kingdom things require this setting aside of self, this setting aside of glory, this setting aside of praise, being the kingdom doesn't require a pat in the back because it's motivated by love, right? And so think about these little, you know, statements. You can't hold the kingdom if your arms are full of yourself. You can't take hold of the kingdom if your arms are full of your church, right? You can't take hold of the kingdom if your arms are full of, again, the Wesleyans, the Baptists, or the Pentecostals, or whatever denomination you may hold to. We're called to love, and in loving, we would be the kingdom. And you know, here's a confession. Even in the last 2 years of pandemic play, it's been pretty, it's becoming harder and harder, I think, to show mercy and grace just because we're so frustrated, and we're so tired, and we're so exhausted of all the changes and all the ever-changing regulations and rules. And is church on? Is church not on? Can we help in this way? Can we not help in this way? When we want to love the community, there's so many hoops that you got to jump through. It almost becomes exhausting, and you say, is it worth it, right? I want you to know that sometimes it's hard to love. And when you have those seasons, then what do? I was just talking about it with someone this morning, early this morning on Messenger. We need to stop and we need to pray for more love. If you're finding it hard to love, then start praying that God would replace your mercy and grace, and that he would build you up and build you up and build you up. And you know what? When we're done praying, love comes easy again. And if you're still finding it hard to love, then you ain't done praying. So get on your face, right? Because love is being the kingdom. Thanks for doing. Like, do many great things in Jesus' name, but the reality is I want us being, and I want us loving, right? That's how we be. That's how we're being the kingdom when we love. So if you're finding it hard to love, I want you to stop and pray. Pray that you would find it some more mercy, and you'd find some more grace, and then all of a sudden, you'll know you're done praying because you'll be filled with love that's overflowing into a world that is longing to see it, right? The kingdom of God, it's so much more than doing. It's about being. And how do you know that you're being? You'll be filled and moved by love. Whew! That's when things change. Anyway, I hope that challenges you a little bit today. On this storm day, again, if you are needing to see some faces, have a coffee, and to enjoy some worship, then please come out Tuesday night. We're in Deep Brook. But let me do this. Let me pray. Father God, I want to thank you for all that is being done for the kingdom in your name. But bigger than the doing, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the kingdom. The kingdom is, whether we want to be a part of it or not, and it's your joy when we partner with you. I pray that we would be found loving, be found looking like you, be found moving like you, seeing what you see, hearing what you hear, that being has no end. Would we be the kingdom? Lord, for those who are so tired of doing, I pray that you would give them even more mercy and grace. If they're tired of doing, I pray that you'd give them a big breath and take that crazy weight of responsibility that we try to place on ourselves, and we'd get rid of it, we'd let it go, and we'd start being love. We'd start being the kingdom. That there's no inconvenience there, because when you lead, you provide, right? When we come to challenges that you have led us to, you equip us. So, Lord, there's so much of a difference here. It has to be about you. It has to be about you. It has to be about you. So I pray that it would be about you, that this tiny little seed of faith would just overtake the community, would overtake our lives. It would overtake all, that we would be so in love with you that love would flow out, and we'd find ourselves being the kingdom right now. Being the kingdom at every moment. We love you. Bless that, I pray. We come against all guilt and all checklists in the name of Jesus, and we pray that we would be found being love for you. So, Lord, bless our time here, even if it's online. Pray that you bless Tuesday before it ever comes. Father God, go before us in the week that lies ahead, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Stay safe. And if we don't see you Tuesday, we'll see you next week.